Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity to get empowered with truthful information so you can make truly informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And thank you for joining me again, and we will be having another fantastic conversation, as always. And I certainly want to remind anyone who may be a new listener to please go over to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, opt in there, because you'll get all these free special reports. I send out my radio shows to everybody, and there are always special little goodies that I am sending out to my list. And in addition to that, you can go to What Women Must Know, which is my Facebook page, and I am always posting great information and studies and sometimes some yummy recipes, things that will really be useful for you and certainly things you really need to understand and know about. So What Women Must Know, that's the place to go. And let's talk about our topic at hand today. We're going to be exploring how to activate your cancer-protective genes with targeted nutrition. You know, there are so many vitamins out there and so many antioxidants. They're just, you know, we get overwhelmed. I look at some of my health magazines and I read articles and I go, oh, my God, I want one of those, one of those, one of those. And we can just be flooding our bodies with a tremendous amount of supplements, but not necessarily working with the ones that are most efficient. And I always like to give people a core protocol that they that allows them to accomplish as much as they can with as few supplements as possible. So that's what we're going to be talking today about, particularly focusing on the best targeted nutrition to protect our genes and certainly reduce our risk of cancers and other chronic illnesses. And to help us explore this terrain, I have a very special guest calling in all the way from Australia. And let me just take a moment and introduce him to you. So Christopher Neville's company, Biophotonics Innovations, is involved with ongoing research and product development focused on the latest scientific findings for longevity and regeneration, along with supporting the emergence of green energy technologies. Chris has over 25 years of experience in wellness, advertising, and marketing. He is the VP Product Development for an innovative wellness company based in LA. And over the course of his career, Chris has worked with numerous well-known supplement, whole food, and bioenergetics technology-based companies in a wide range of roles, including Vice President, Asian Pacific, and Director, Australia and New Zealand. He has been actively involved with innovative formulation development, strategic marketing, and setting up a million-dollar production line facility for the manufacture and global distribution of health products. Chris is an advocate for the wisdom and practices from ancient traditions with a deep respect for the Aboriginals of Australia and First Nations. He also has a great appreciation for the principles and practices of Ayurvedic and traditional Chinese medicine. So it's wonderful that we have Chris on the phone with us today, all the way from Queensland, Australia, and the perfect person to help us navigate with this this terrain of optimal nutrition. So, Chris, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. Cheryl. It's great to be on.
Well, first of all, thank you for getting up so early and being part of this show. You have such a wealth of knowledge and information, and that's why I thought you'd be a wonderful guest to have on the show. We have had previous conversations. I haven't had the pleasure to meet you in the person in flesh yet, but I'm sure that will happen one of these days. But I just wanted you to be able to be on the show so we can really help people understand what are the optimal, I like to call them targeted nutritionals, to support us, particularly enhancing our body's protective genes or genomic expression. So tell us a little bit about your interest in all this and how you arrived at a place where you are so involved in doing this kind of advanced leading-edge work.
Well, it's really quite a long story, so I'll keep it brief, but the main way that I arrived at exploring nutrigenomics and epigenetics was because I was fascinated with how sound impacted the body, and I was interested in how ancient traditions work with the earth, with the herbs and various medicines, but also ceremony with sound and using sound for healing. I play the didgeridoo and perform as well, and I was very interested in the use of, you know, instruments and also voice in how it would activate a healing process, including prayer and chant and a range of other things. But when I explored it deeper, other than just the physics of what sound was doing, I was also curious as to what the relationship between the mind and emotion was. And then that event, or that healing event moment, where somebody would have a turning point from the degeneration into regeneration, and as a pathway. And within the sphere of nutritionals, and we've all known for eons that obviously a healthy diet's kind of important, but with this global overwhelming information that's at us today as far as nutrition is concerned, and then this nutrition, or this nutritional, this superfood, that superfood, I really wanted to explore what it was that it was not about just nourishing the body. It was about what activated the regeneration pathway. So from a disease pathway process, what was it that triggered the body to start a new trajectory, a new pathway back towards wellness? And so nutrigenomics, when I came across this field about 6 or 7 years ago, I just had my light bulb moment, and it was a revelation in many ways, because what I came to understand is that there are really two types of antioxidants, and that is that you've got an antioxidant that most people are familiar with, and it's really from your diet or your supplement, you know, your superfruits, or a good wholesome diet. And that approach of outside in is incredibly beneficial. There's no question of that. And that's where getting well, staying well is part of the equation. But I wanted to know and understand more about what it was that the body does, as it's, we've heard the expression, you know, give the body what it needs so the body can do what it does best, which is to heal itself or maintain homeostasis. And nutrigenomics was the revelation, in as much as when we understand that the body actually makes its own antioxidants and detoxification enzymes that are millions of times more powerful than anything you can get in a fruit or superfruit or a superberry, that was the turning point, because I really recognize a way that we could proactively participate as in preventative medicine. There's a little bit of alliteration there, but is the idea of what we could do as humans, as health conscious people, exploring ways to get well, stay well, and the idea that our body actually produces its own antioxidants, and that we could activate that mechanism with certain compounds that are derived from food. So we started to now have a targeted way of being able to understand what's known as gene expression. And I took a look at it from sound and frequency aspect of it initially, and then I wanted to come back to the idea of the biochemical pathway or the nutrient pathway. And so we're in a moment of overlap right now of where each of those things come together. So it's been hugely exciting, but also very fulfilling, because it's truly just a piece of information that makes it so profound of what somebody can do in preventative medicine and to proactively prevent degeneration and chronic inflammation in the body. And that, to me, is hugely exciting, when you start to recognize that there are some things that are within nature that are tools, but when we have only got a certain limitation in terms of what our nutritional supplementation budget may look like or otherwise, having been involved with the process of manufacturing different supplements and whole food nutritional products, it was looking at, there are so many things that you can put on the label that could look appealing, but it was then coming back down to, but how much of that was in the product, but how much of that was going to be absorbed, and all of those layers of information that are necessary to say, is my money being well spent that's going to produce something that's going to assist my body with getting well, staying well? And so they are all of the layers of things that are have been exploring for many years now. So that's just sort of
Let me just jump in here, Chris. What people need to understand is that, you know, we're bombarded with the greatest and latest supplement, and there's raw foods and whole foods and berries and powders and a variety of things that are presented to us, and some of them are high quality, some of them may not be, but the point is, and this is where I've arrived at, what is it that we need to know and what is our best choice to get the most results in terms of optimizing the key systems and functions of our body. And this is where my research in nutrigenomics and the kinds of supplements that actually talk to our genes that facilitate the greatest response physiologically gives us the best outcome for health. And that's what I think we really want to be educating people about, so people can make the best choice. So let's start with the benefits that come from cruciferous vegetables, and particularly broccoli seed extract. Talk a little bit about why they are so important and why they're one of the top of the list of supplements people should be taking.
Sure. So when you consider taking any supplement, or obviously incorporating certain food groups into our diet, it's pretty standard that anybody, if they're looking to improve their nutritional intake, should look at the colors of fruits and vegetables and recognize that certain compounds within foods provide certain, you know, protection for the body in terms of some of the phytonutrients. But there's been a tremendous amount of research out of Johns Hopkins University, certainly University of Tokyo here, and University of Queensland, Australia, and other institutions around the world, particularly around the cruciferous vegetables, and in particular with the broccoli. Now, everybody just loves their broccoli. Probably not. So what was so fascinating about the broccoli and the research identified a particular compound that is produced when consuming broccoli, and that is a compound called sulforaphane. Now, sulforaphane is not actually contained in broccoli, and it's not actually contained in the broccoli sprout or broccoli seed. So even when we hear about the idea of broccoli seed extract and broccoli sprout or broccoli sprout powder, it's actually a compound called glucoraphanin. Now, glucoraphanin needs an enzyme called myrosinase in order to convert the glucoraphanin to sulforaphane. Now, the interesting thing about it is that the broccoli seed, and particularly the broccoli sprout, when it has about 50 to 100 times more glucoraphanin than the mature adult vegetable. So as much as eating the vegetable is great, it's actually the sprout has a much greater density of this particular compound that's beneficial for the body. And when I say beneficial, I'll explain about the pathway, because that to me is really the fascinating part of it. And in the production process, or when you consume the broccoli sprout or the vegetable, you've got these little saccules where you've got the glucoraphanin in one saccule, and then you've got the myrosinase enzyme in the other. So when you munch away, what happens is the sacs break open, they interact, and sulforaphane is formed. And sulforaphane is pretty unstable, so it needs to be consumed right away, and within half an hour it's usually active within the body. Now, what sulforaphane and the research is indicating, and there's over 1,000 white papers to date, and there's, you know, more and more every week that are being added to, if you went to PubMed or any other scientific research literature website, you'll find that the growing body of research on sulforaphane is really quite profound. And one of the most important things is that sulforaphane acts more like a messenger, if you will. And what it does is that when you have the glucoraphanin combined with the myrosinase that forms the sulforaphane, sulforaphane is a very, very small molecule, so it's able to easily transit the gut and into the bloodstream and then make its way to the cell. And what it does is it activates this mechanism, this pathway. We've heard of the NRF2, the NRF2 for some of us. It's a pathway, a defense pathway within the cell, which triggers genes and the gene expression in the body, whereby the body can start to produce its own antioxidants and its own detoxification enzymes. And these antioxidants and detoxification enzymes are actually millions of times more powerful. Now, to get an idea of the difference is that you'll have your primary antioxidants like superoxide dismutase, catalase, and glutathione peroxidase. These primary antioxidants act inside the cell and are made by the cell. And there are certain genes that are coded for that. And sulforaphane actually has the ability to activate over 200 different genes that are responsible for cellular defense. In fact, even to date with the nutritional research, it is the most multifunctional known compound to nutritional science and the most powerful compound known for activating this particular defense mechanism, the NRF2 pathway. And that is a critical piece of information for preventative health. To get an idea of why it's so important, there's even a pharmaceutical company, Abbott, that has spent over $400 million to invest in some of the research on the mechanism of activating the NRF2. And as science tries to do, sometimes not as readily, is replicate nature. And to date, the broccoli seed extract or the broccoli sprout powder is the most nutrient-dense form of delivery to the body. Now, here's a thing in the nutritional world when you even see something on the label that's really important, and it's about bioactivity. And what I mean by that is you can see broccoli. If you see something that says sulforaphane on a label, it's a lie. And the reason being is that there's no ingredient called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is formed only when the glucoraphanin is combined with the myrosinase enzyme. That's it. And sulforaphane is produced and used within 30 minutes in the body. It's very unstable, as I mentioned earlier. So it's a really important thing when we're out there looking at different products is to make sure that it's bioavailable. Much of the research in the universities, as fabulous and revolutionary as it is, so we can see the different mechanisms of what it's doing for disease prevention or mitigation, but what we're also looking at is that what we do in a laboratory doesn't always translate to what you can do at scale when you produce products for human consumption, because you can add myrosinase to glucoraphanin in a test tube and produce sulforaphane in a test tube and get fabulous results in the test tube. But when you produce a nutritional product and you dry the broccoli, doesn't matter whether it's freeze-dried or otherwise, typically what happens is that you will kill the enzyme myrosinase or destroy the enzyme myrosinase in that production process and be left with the glucoraphanin. And the research would lend you to want to believe as consumers that in real terms, well, here's all the research on the broccoli, the broccoli sprout or the broccoli seed extract in terms of sulforaphane, but sulforaphane is never produced by glucoraphanin alone. It needs the myrosinase. Now, we do have some myrosinase in our gut, which may convert some of the glucoraphanin. But if you're not particularly well and our internal flora is compromised, then you're getting no real nutritional or clinical benefit out of that particular compound. So it's fascinating, but it's just a matter of looking at making sure that it's an enzyme active form of the broccoli sprout itself.
Well, what I am so excited about with the correct form of broccoli seed extract are all the ramifications for our health. So let's talk a bit more about what happens when we can get a product that can convert into sulforaphane. What really are the benefits for our health and well-being and for our healing?
Well, the great thing about sulforaphane, and this comes back to what I was mentioning a little earlier, is that think of it, you've got, if we think of chronic inflammation as a fire, as an example, what we've been led to believe is that, you know, water, let's call it that, the antioxidant, that water is the thing that will put out the fire or neutralize the free radical damage that's causing the inflammation. And that's great in simple concept, but what we've recently had, as I refer to, as the battle of the berries, that there's always some new antioxidant that's been found in some berry or fruit in the Amazon or some other part of the world that's beneficial, and so it can become a little confusing. And again, these are dietary antioxidants. So when you've got a bucket of water, an antioxidant, and you're throwing that on the fire to extinguish the fire, that's beneficial. There's no question of it. And the science will tell you that water will put out that fire. Yes. But when we're looking at a holistic system of the body and also different systems within the body, then we've got to look at the mechanism of what takes place when we've got a chronic inflammation in a system of the body. So if we had inflammation of the central nervous system, we might refer to as being Alzheimer's and dementia. If we had inflammation of the cardiovascular system, we may refer to that as being heart disease or skeletal system with osteoporosis or arthritis. So each of those different systems of the body, we may tag each of them as being a condition or a disease for that matter. But in real terms, what we have is a condition or foundation within the body of inflammation or an inflammation response. So if we want to approach that inflammation with a dietary antioxidant approach, what we're in effect doing is taking a bucket of water and trying to pour it on the fire, or we're getting a bigger bucket of water because it's a superfruit and putting it on the fire. The absolute difference between primary antioxidants and secondary antioxidants, and all dietary secondary antioxidants, is that the mechanism of having a compound like sulforaphane is an indirect antioxidant. What I mean by that is, let's call him the messenger or the fireman. So the fireman knows everything there is about fire, but what the fireman is able to do is he doesn't bother carrying a bucket of water into the fire. He doesn't bother carrying a hose into the fire. He's able to identify that the fire is on the 33rd floor and able to go up the stairwell and traverse the gut to make it to the cell. And what he's able to do is recognize exactly that each cell has a coding already built into it from day dot. And all he does is he pushes the button, and this button activates the sprinkler system. And the sprinkler system puts the fire out. He didn't have to carry an antioxidant in. And that's the breakthrough in nutrigenomics. It's really activating the body's own defense mechanism, where the body's genes are coded to make their own antioxidants. And that was a revelation for me. So it's not having one or the other, antioxidants only for activating the gene expression, but it's recognizing that they play a pivotal role in being able to help us work with certain compounds that can have that benefit, that nutrigenomic benefit. And just coming back to the question that you asked, Dr. Sherrill, in terms of the pathway, as we mentioned, it will activate the production of superoxide dismutase, catalase, and glutathione peroxidase. So what these three primary antioxidants do is they neutralize the superoxide, or let's call it the free radical, And it eliminates it as water and oxygen. And so you're no longer left with toxic waste that's in the body. And it also activates a whole range of other enzymes like quinone reductase. Now, quinone reductase is one of the enzymes that's critical in what they call the phase two enzyme activity pathway. So it's been correlated that when you have low levels of quinone reductase, you've got a higher probability of cancer or some other form of chronic degenerative condition. So being able to activate this is absolutely critical. And the most powerful natural compound known to nutritional science is sulforaphane.
So let me just stop you there for a moment. So what I've learned, and this is what I use in my practice and for myself, is that when you can activate the body's own natural and powerful antioxidant enzymes, so the ones that the body, every cell makes, which is what you were talking about when this superoxide dismutase and catalase, those names are the names of the antioxidant enzymes that are made by every single cell. But sometimes, based on our health and our genomic expression, we're not very efficient at producing those very potent types of antioxidants, which is where free radical damage and damage to the DNA can take place. So what we're saying is, and what I hear you saying, is that the more we can provide the body, the cells, with the nutrition that can enhance their own production of these powerful antioxidants, we're getting more bang for our buck. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens is, as we age, the gene expression becomes sluggish, and it doesn't function the same way as what it's really designed to do. And so that's really, part of the problem with the aging process is really this gene expression aspect of cellular defense. So being able to know that there are genes that are coded that can produce more of the body's primary antioxidants, and we can provide those catalysts, those messengers to the body so we can upregulate those or turn the volume up on them. And sometimes with the inflammation, as an example, we'll turn that down. So these... this particular mechanism is really important because it gives somebody a way of being able to just incorporate some really simple things into their day-to-day lifestyles that are targeting this particular function in the body. Now, we know that as we age, there's environmental toxicity and there's a range of other things that are obviously in the food chain today with herbicides, pesticides, and even preservatives, et cetera. And unless you're... you're living out in the middle of the Pacific, probably not even such a great spot, in and of itself, in terms of trying to look for some level of purity, because even the Earth as a whole, we talk about foods and these as well, and what it does is it might look like a but what's actually happening at a gene expression level, and that's a whole conversation in itself. But what happens is that we can work with the body by including certain nutrients that have this primary antioxidant production and also the detoxification enzymes as well. So when you activate the detoxification enzymes, what the body is able to do is start to remove this toxic waste. A lot of obesity today is not so much just about the foods and the carbohydrates, sugars, and those sort of things alone. It's actually a low-grade level of inflammation as well, because toxicity in our environment today and our foods is accumulated in fatty cells. So when sometimes somebody goes on a diet, they can have a bit of a headache to start off with, because the body has stored these toxins in the fatty cells, and these toxins are being stirred up and eliminated, and this waste is kind of a bit of an overwhelm for the body. But coming back to the cellular function and what we can do about assisting the body's process is certain nutrients will target gene expression, and that gene expression is responsible for assisting the body's frontline defense, which is at a, you know, cellular level. If we think of a liver detox or a gastrointestinal detox, like a bowel detox or otherwise, what we've got really is a cellular detox that needs to happen. And so this is upregulating all of those mechanisms that can assist the body with transporting the toxins out, the nutrients in, and the frontline primary antioxidant production switched on.
And the other thing that I learned that was fascinating is that when you activate your primary antioxidants, which is what the sulforaphane does, those primary antioxidants made by every single cell of our body is millions times more powerful than if you were to take green tea or resveratrol, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is when you come down to, okay, I'm coming down with a cold or a flu, or you know, not feeling particularly well. I need to get some vitamin C, and most people think of that because it's probably the most common thought of globally as an antioxidant. And look, it is. It can play that role, but it's not the only role that vitamin C has. So if we think of vitamin C as an antioxidant, just to give an illustration, one vitamin C molecule will neutralize one free radical. One for one. Now contrast that to a primary antioxidant like superoxide dismutase, which will neutralize millions of free radicals per minute and recycle. Which do you want to help activate and have functioning in the body? Keep pouring, you know, the superberry juice down your neck, realistically, or do you really want to consume things that actually, because you really can't consume enough antioxidants in your body to prevent oxidative stress, unless you've got the purest of purest diets, and even then you can't in modern world because you're subjected to so many other toxins that 50 years ago weren't prevalent in our air and our water, and certainly just with the electrosmog and the environment and other stresses. So it's not really possible, I believe, in today's world to we can work in minimizing all those things for sure. But if we can optimize that very, very fundamental primary level defense mechanism at the cellular level that's millions of times more powerful, then what we're doing is we're interrupting the progress of disease before it begins at the cellular level.
Yeah, so this is why it's so exciting for me, because I'm always looking for what will give me the greatest results. So what I've learned from you and from other sources that I've been researching is that when you can, number one, stimulate the primary antioxidants made by every single cell, which we've been talking about a lot, the sulforaphanes also are potent anti-inflammatories. So inflammation is a primary initiator of chronic illness, so is oxidative stress. So we're kind of nipping these major processes that can cause harm in the bud. But there's also one other thing that actually I found quite profound, and you touched on it a little bit, but I don't want to get people too lost with these names that they're not familiar with. But basically, and I've learned this from my nutrigenomics testing that I do, a vast majority of people, I would say 97% of people that I test have inherited a compromised function of this gene. And the gene that I'm talking about is the gene that helps to properly detoxify chemicals, particularly estrogenic-like chemicals and toxins, or the xenoestrogens, or the estrogens that we may be producing through our fat cells or through our menstrual cycle or through hormones. They're all the same molecular structure, basically. And when we have inherited a compromised capacity to, in a sense, deactivate those molecules, make them safe, benign, so they can be taken out, but rather increase the pathways that make them more dangerous and more reactive and more damaging to the DNA, this becomes a big factor for increasing our risk of breast cancer, you know, prostate cancer, which is an estrogen-sensitive cancer, even ovarian cancer, things like that. So this is a big story. So can you maybe just help to elaborate on that or clarify it a bit more?
Look, the different support systems of the body, I mean, ultimately there's a life wants to protect itself and promote more life. And ultimately where we have a lot of man-made or foreign substances that are making their way into our life, whether it be from plastics or other petrochemical-based substances, what happens is that there's an accumulation. And gene expression can be affected by the foods we eat. So, you know, you can have a measure of your gene expression right now and consume, you know, nutritious food, and you'll have a different array that will show up with different enzymes that are active and therefore defense genes that are switched on and other inflammation genes that are switched off. And what happens is that it's not just about the foods we eat. As we know, it's also about the environment. And what they're showing is that the environment and also, like, they actually did studies with two, you know, with many, many identical twins. And what they showed was that obviously the identical twins have got exactly the same genes. And the difference that showed up over time was the subtlety. And they actually had twins that were separated at birth. And they showed that obviously the nurture and nature of how people grow and evolve and develop and the health status at different points is that the environment in which they grow up in will also play a role in what genes are activated and switched on. In fact, even growing up in a household where there's violence will actually have certain genes that are switched off and many of the complications that exist there. But as far as the being able to assist the body with activating and eliminating some of these this toxic waste, sulforaphane's been able to help synthesize glutathione. So obviously, as we know, glutathione is incredibly important within the body, and being able to activate and upregulate that activity is hugely important. Metallothionein is another, which assists with the removal of heavy metals from the body. So where you've got anything that is supporting can be used by the body. Anything that is life diminishing is treated as being foreign or toxic to the body. We know that. So if the body can't get rid of that, then what happens is that it gets stored. And so this is where it starts to play havoc, because the body is misreading some of the information, particularly from the mimicking that happens. And we start to, when you go into cell replication, because obviously the cell replicates as we grow, with the new cells and old cells dying off. But what happens is that in that duplication process of the genes, it's almost like what happens is that there's a misspelling. So if you can imagine the misspelling of a word where you've got the genes being expressed with S-T-O-P, and the instruction to the cell is stop. But in the replication pathway, the transcription didn't actually happen cleanly enough, whereby the cell has mutated and it's now got a new instruction called STEP. So it's now called step. And so the body is stepping when it should be stopping. And so you've got this kind of conflict within the body that's taking place at a gene expression level. What the opportunity lies within nutritional medicine today is that we can support the body to reestablish the original pathway of defense. And this is where prevention becomes really important, because even with cancer cells and the progression of cancer at the different stages, sulforaphane can interrupt and mitigate the onward progression of tumors and a range of other things as well, because it's activating the defense genes, and that's why it's so prevalent in the research today globally, is because it is so profound in the number of pathways and a number of mechanisms that it's supporting. And this is where we'd look at a range of different ways of being able to address disease. It is, as this talk is more focusing on the nutrigenomic aspect of it, but in reality, there are also other things that need to be taken into consideration, and I refer to it as being, it's not so much just about what you eat, but what's eating you. And so sometimes we need to look at our relationships and realize that our relationships can sometimes be toxic, and we need to detox those relationships, and where there's forgiveness that needs to be played out there as well, or otherwise. And so there is a mechanism that happens in the body, and the gene expression can be affected by different pathways. But ultimately what we're doing is we're looking at how we can work with and support and influence those pathways for our own benefit, and optimizing that. And nutrigenomics is certainly one of the most profound tools towards that, for empowering people, particularly if they've been health challenged with a chronic condition. There are many other compounds, of course, besides sulforaphane, but sulforaphane to this date is regarded as the most versatile known compound in nutritional science.
I just want to say that this is the supplement that I recommend to every one of my patients who either has had an episode of cancer, is dealing with an episode of cancer, or wants to prevent cancer of any sort, actually, because so much of it is taking place in these detoxification pathways or dealing with oxidative stress or inflammation. And, we're talking now in Breast Cancer Awareness Month, or I like to call it Breast Health Awareness Month. We're looking at the best strategies that people can be educated about. And I personally think this is one of the most profound nutrients we could be taking, because it has so many mechanisms of action. It affects us and supports us on so many different levels. And, that's why I think it's such an efficient supplement, because you are getting so many benefits from one thing. You don't have to take other supplements, you know?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the most extraordinary things about some of the research that's coming back, is that, you know, you talk about a bang for a buck, but in real terms, it's the fact that it's so versatile in its impact on the body, and being able to activate and upregulate different functions at a cellular level. And when you're talking about inflammation and being able to inhibit the the cytokines responsible for, the inflammation response in the body. But there's also many, many other pathways that are work in tandem with that, and whether it be prostate cancer. So if we think of at the foundation of every form of cancer, really, is you've got inflammation, but as part of the foundation. And you've also got, there's a shift in the pH where the body becomes more acidic, as we know. So that's why there's been, the topic of, an alkaline diet, et cetera. But when we go upstream and find out, okay, what's really at the basis of it is the fact that the cell has become overwhelmed with toxicity. And so the body is not able to eliminate the toxin as readily, and not producing enough primary antioxidants that's optimal to defend itself at a cellular level. So when you can support that mechanism and optimize the cellular defense with the upregulation of primary antioxidants, and support the body's optimization of primary, antioxidant defense enzymes, you'll also have the detoxification pathways that are going to open up and release a lot of the challenges that are really the source of the problem, the irritation at a cellular level.
Yeah, so very exciting, because to know that there are powerful supplements that have been researched quite thoroughly that are able to be so versatile and help us with optimizing our health and well-being and all these issues such as inflammation, oxidative stress, detoxification. It's great. I mean, this is why I'm really a fan of broccoli seed extracts. This is why I've incorporated it in my practice, take it daily, and have found it to be quite profound for so many people.
Yeah, it really is a fabulous inclusion for anybody to consider, for sure, in their day-to-day habit. And, you know, the truth is that having raw, fresh sprouts would be an ideal, but most people aren't really, because of their modern lifestyles, likely to be growing sprouts on a daily basis and consuming those. And when you consider the convenience, that's probably not always going to be an easy way to do things. But there are several other compounds that work to support the optimization of primary antioxidant production. And certainly, you know, there's some melons, and as we know, the turmeric and the curcumin's there as well. So there are some other natural compounds that have been researched that are tremendously beneficial for anybody.
You know, I think we don't have a whole lot of time left in our interview. It's gone really quickly, Chris. But the curcumin's is the active ingredient of turmeric, which is called curcumin, is such a powerful substance. It has so many thousands of studies showing how beneficial it is addressing many of these same issues that we've been talking about, detoxification and primary antioxidants and inflammation.
Yeah.
That I think that's something that everyone should be taking. And you can take the turmeric in your cooking, or you could, you know, grate it, put it in your teas. But you really want the active component called curcumin.
Yeah. The great thing about, if you look at the research today, turmeric or curcumin, or the curcuminoids being the active compound within the spice that gives it its benefit, particularly for anti-inflammation and antiviral, antibacterial, and many, many other benefits. It's the most widely researched spice on the planet today, and for good reason. If you look at the fact that most people would think, you know, it's a yellow curry, so that's obviously the curcumin and the colouring there. That's the closest that the majority of the population typically would come to know curcumin. But as an Ayurvedic, important staple for getting well and staying well, if you look at the Indian society, where they've got over 1.2 billion people as a population, they have the lowest incidence of cancer per capita in the world. So that's a clue. And so that's why there's been such an extraordinary amount of movement towards trying to unlock some of the understanding around the curcumin. And they've identified that the curcuminoids, which are these active compounds, are really the active aspect of the spice itself. And one of the, as much as you having fresh is always going to be best, there's no question of that, and including that in smoothies, to goodness knows anything else that you want to be able to put it in your food and your cooking. But from a nutritional supplement point of view, it's really important to look for something that has got a high level of the curcuminoids. And the reason why that's important is that you can see, again, on a label that it has the curcumin or the turmeric on a label. But having it standardized where you know that if you took an apple from a tree or an orange from a tree and you bit one apple from one side of the tree to an apple on the other side of the tree, you're going to have slight nutritional variation just within nature. That's natural. But when you're looking at wanting to have a supplement, it's being able to have it standardized so you know that there's a certain potency level, and that's really critical. And there are different products around, but certainly looking for something that's at least 50%, but you know, there are opportunities of up to 95% active curcuminoids that are available as well, and that's certainly something to look for, because that way when you're consuming it, you know it's supporting upregulating the gene expression, the anti-inflammation, and the detoxification again, but it's also antiviral, antibacterial, anti-anti. It's a tremendously beneficial ingredient.
So as far as the top supplements, we have broccoli seed powder, broccoli seed extract that has the ability to convert into sulforaphane. It's working mm-hmm. with the curcuminoids from curcumin, or the active component of turmeric. And anything else that you see is the top tier of what everyone should really be taking?
Yeah, look, there's several others that I really like, and they've got a fabulous amount of science on. There's the chaga mushroom. Chaga, some people will know of different mushrooms, whether it be the reishi or the lingzhi mushroom, but what will happen is that there's a difference from a mushroom that grows in the ground, more of your food-type mushrooms, to medicinal mushrooms, and typically mushrooms that grow on the side of birch trees are the medicinal variety. Chaga, which is more profound in through Siberia and different parts of Middle Asia there, can be consumed, used to be consumed as a tea and a beverage. And why it was so profound for those people that are in, you know, extremely harsh weather conditions and being able to have such incredibly strong immune systems was that chaga is the highest level of, it has a tremendous level of SOD, the superoxide dismutase, remember, the primary antioxidant. Mm-hmm. And so having that, whether it be in a tea or any form really, is fabulous. And there are, there's about 45, 50 different medicinal products that have been developed with that as one of the foundational ingredients, because it has many, many other phytonutrients that are beneficial to not only nourish the body, but also to activate this primary antioxidant pathway as well. Another compound is derived from, it's a French cantaloupe or rock melon, depending on what part of the world you're from. And this French cantaloupe is a particular species. And if you look at the cantaloupes and you put, you know, a standard cantaloupe against this French species, and you just to leave them on your table for, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, you'll see that the standard cantaloupe would start to deteriorate at a certain point. You think, okay, it's starting to turn and it's rotting and going off. And you'll have the French species that's very, very high in superoxide dismutase that is actually sitting there looking straight, freshly picked. And so when we recognize that there are certain compounds that can preserve our natural defense systems for fruits and life within the fruit or the vegetable itself, these are typically beneficial for human health as well, and that's certainly proven to be the case. One of the ways that's important is that there are ways to be able to extract that from the French cantaloupe and stabilize that so that way it can be delivered to the gut, and then ultimately the superoxide dismutase not only act as an antioxidant in the gut, but also transit to activate more primary antioxidant production as well, so tremendously beneficial. I guess just one other thing that's worth just finishing off with is shilajit. And shilajit is a highly prized substance, particularly in Central Asia. It's, if you think of when all life, whether it be trees or humans or animals or otherwise, when it decomposes, you'll find that over eons, this decomposition of life, and it's a process called humification. So when you look at, you know, the sun and a leaf converting, you know, the sunlight into through photosynthesis, that process and humification are the only two real things that, you know, science can't play with or work out yet. And it's a good thing that they can't. But the thing with the Shilajit is that it was regarded as rock ooze. And basically there were regions where many, many millions of years ago you'd have the tree leaves and the animals and all the rest, I mean, really life, going back through the recycling engine room of humification, where it's decomposed back down to its primary substance. And this substance that was highly prized is called Shilajit. But one of the reasons why Shilajit is so profound is that it has not only superoxide dismutase, but it also has fulvic acid and humic acid. And it, these are tremendously important for supporting the body and the mitochondria, the energy systems of the body, and also the detoxification pathways as well. So these are, you know, we know that there's different tonics and there are different things that people can have within herbal medicine and other spices, specifically medicinal spices and compounds. But these are just things that people can have as teas. They can incorporate in the food preparations. But if you want to go into the supplements, you really need to look for the purity, the potency, and, of course, goes without saying, GMO-free and toxin-free as well, preferably organic or wild-harvested. So they're the kind of things that we want to look at.
Well, that's quite a list of things, and I want to just let people know chaga mushroom, which is spelled C-H-A-G-A, is one of those prized mushrooms because it's a source of superoxide dismutase, which is that powerful primary antioxidant. So that's always been used traditionally, especially Chinese medicine, hasn't it, Chris? It's a potent mushroom for a regeneration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you can, you know, look for chaga mushroom. And the Shilajit, which is this remains of these ancient plants that for millions of years have been converted into highly potent mineral sources. So that's one of the things that I've been learning from you as well, Chris, is that Shilajit is, which is used in Ayurvedic medicine, but it's just an amazing source of absorbable minerals. And we know how important minerals are to fuel all the key processes in the body. So these are things people really need to look for and make as part of their primary, you know, products in their protocol, because they are so powerful and so effective. So, Chris, we've come to the end of the show. Just 2 seconds, anything you just want to say before we wind things up?
Yeah, look, I think that it's, you know, there's been a lot covered, and I think the distilling what we've shared to date is probably just a simple aspect of there are really two types of antioxidants in general terms. Secondary antioxidants, which we're mostly familiar with the superfruits and fruits and vegetables and a healthy diet or supplements, and they're tremendously beneficial at nourishing the body and helping the body, you know, rejuvenate, regenerate. However, it's the primary antioxidants. The body makes its own antioxidants and detoxification enzymes, and that there are certain nutrients that will actually trigger that mechanism, and these are some of the nutrients that we cover today. And primary antioxidants are millions of times more powerful at mitigating and interrupting the onset of chronic degenerative conditions. So if we can upregulate or increase that activity at a cellular level of the body making its own primary antioxidants, then we are really well down the path of being able to have a really potent tool and a way and understanding of helping the body get well and stay well.
Well, that's great. Great note to end on. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. We've been talking to Chris Neville from Queensland, Australia. And to all of you listening, thanks again for joining me for another opportunity to get empowered with truthful information. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.